pull up a chair and join us at the table this week for another episode of Paper, Pencil, Dice, a tabletop role-playing podcast.
Welcome back to Paper, Pencil, Dice. I'm Tony the Game Master. Hope everyone out there is enjoying the show. Last time, our friends had finally gained entrance to the Dread Crown's secret underground lair. From there, they went to the stadium where they know the gauntlet is known to be held. They signed up to be the next contenders in the gauntlet and had just been guided in through the doors. So, before we see what's on the other side of those doors, let's go around the table and have everyone introduce themselves. So, first of all, Brian, do you want to go?
Sure. I am Brian. I'll be playing Aethir Solaris, the fighter elf. Today he's going to be wearing his scale mail into the gauntlet and wielding a two-handed falchion and a long sword and shield. So he'll be ready to battle.
All right. And up next we'll go with Jethal.
Yeah. My name's Chris. I'm playing Jethal. You know, I'm just hiding behind my sword and board guy up there, meat shield, ready for anything.
All right. And up next is Hup.
This is Mark. I'm playing Hup Bottomsworth. I am a human rogue of great skill and majesty.
All right. And lastly, we have Tegan.
Hello, I'm playing Tegan. I'm the other Chris. That's Tegan Stumbleduck. We got to pronounce it correctly. I am the gnome sorcerer, and I'll be wearing my regular drab garb, but with my new staff of healing that we got last time. So I'm really excited.
Alrighty. So you enter in through the room. You are guided in by the person coordinating, kind of signing you up. And the waiting room in this area, it looks like it's sort of a dressing room, waiting room, kind of holding area. It's made almost entirely out of stone. The floors are stone. The ceiling is stone. There are 10 chairs in the room that are also made of stone and are fused to the floor. It actually looks like they might have been carved right out of the floor. And for that matter, it looks like the entire room was itself carved out of solid rock itself. The chairs have large, comfortable cushions on the seats, and they look really comfy. Against one wall, there is a fireplace that is carved out of the wall with the chimney going up. There is wood in the fireplace, but it is not currently lit. It does look like the wood has been partially burned before, but not recently. The room, while it does feel rather cold entering it, looks like it could be rather cozy. At the far end of the room, you see a female human wearing loose-fitting white linen shirt and pants. She looks up and says, "Welcome to the gauntlet. I am White Pebble. Do you come to compete in the crown's challenge willingly or unwillingly?"
Hello, good madam. Absolutely willingly.
Oh, that is a surprise. Well, I'm glad to see you here.
So, what do you mean by unwillingly?
Well, there's sometimes when people run afoul of the guild, they are sent here to redeem themselves in the eyes of the guild, or they come here as a punishment of sorts and prove themselves to the guild or provide entertainment to the guild in cases where they've crossed them. And should they survive the gauntlet, then they are redeemed in the eyes of the guild. And should they not, they at least provide entertainment to do so. At least so I've been told. I don't watch the trials at all.
Entertainment, that seems a little barbaric.
Yeah, the guild has their bloodthirsty members who like to see people thrown to the wolves, so to speak, sometimes.
Wait, there's wolves?
I don't believe there's actual wolves down here. At least not that I'm aware of it, anyway.
Whew, that's good. I have a dog dander allergy.
So, okay. You said, you keep saying the guild. Are you not a part of the guild?
I am not a member of the guild, no.
So, how are you here?
Oh, I'm merely the guild's property.
How do you become the guild's property?
My father, a salesperson, he sold cattle and similar type things. He ran afoul of the guild years ago, not giving them a discount and insulting the leadership of the guild. And his life was threatened, and in exchange for his life and his business, he gave me to them, and I've been living here ever since.
What's your father's name?
Hugin Mafas.
When's the last time you've seen him?
6-7 years ago? I don't recall. It's been a while. This is my home now. This is mostly what I've known for a while.
But it's not right to be considered property as a person. This is not right.
Right or wrong, I don't believe I have much of a choice.
Maybe we can fix that problem.
But if you were able to free me and I could see my father again, I would be most grateful.
Do you know anything about the trials? Could you enter the trials too if you so desired?
I know some things about the trials. There are a few people who have lived but not passed through the trials. Mostly the first trial of the three is the only one I know much about, just from what I've been told.
What's the first trial?
It's called the Trial of Tiles. There's a room with tiles in it, and those who step on the wrong tile fall through the floor. I do know four rules about the tiles, though, and I don't believe these are supposed to be known. But if you're willing to help me out and possibly helping free me, if helping you through the trials helps me reach my freedom, then I'm more than willing to help. But the four rules that I know are when there are two or more identical tiles adjacent to each other, all but one of those identical tiles are trapped.
So two next to each other, one is a trap, one is not.
Well, two or more.
Two or more, okay.
Yes, if there are three tiles next to each other that are all identical, two of those three are trapped and one is not. Or four, three are trapped and one is not, and so on.
Sure.
All but one are always trapped.
Gotcha. Is there a way to tell the trapped one from the non-trapped one, or only that there's a trap between the set?
Only that there is one of the group is trapped, or all but one of the group is trapped.
What kind of trap are they? Are like a like an open trap?
You are either you fall through the floor or something removes you from the room if you touch the wrong trap. That's really, I haven't seen it, so I don't know.
Sure.
I know that they're trapped in that. I do also know that it's not fatal either immediately. So
not immediately. So it's a long drawn out death. That's reassuring.
Well, it's generally the trial is done by groups of people. On rare occasions, there's individuals who are boisterous enough to try it on their own. But generally, it's mostly groups of people. And when they make it through, they will, if let's say half the number fall to the tiles, the other half succeeds, the remaining come back. It's the only time that they all die is when every member of a group falls through the tiles. I do actually remember one story of a druid who attempted to summon animals and they kept falling trapped to the tiles. And while they were entertaining to the guild, the druid eventually stopped having the ability to summon them. I'm not sure if he simply ran out of his magical abilities or if he angered the nature spirits or whatever he worshipped. But eventually he was no longer entertaining the guild and he was put to death.
Interesting. What's the second?
The second rule is that if there is a tile that is trapped, the tiles adjacent to that are not.
As long as they're not identical.
Regardless, there are never trapped tiles adjacent to one another.
Okay.
The third rule is There is no safe tile that is completely surrounded by trap tiles. All safe tiles have at least one other safe tile adjacent to it. And the last rule is that in this is one of the ones that a unfortunate rogue found out. The adjacency rules do not count diagonally.
Ah, okay. So it is, everything is orthogonally.
It's only excellent. North, south, east, and west.
Correct.
The rules apply.
Okay. You knew a lot about the first room. Have you heard of any stories about people knowing about other rooms?
Generally, once they've passed the first room, they don't end up coming back here. Either because they could succeed or they don't. So, unfortunately, I don't know much beyond the first room.
Okay.
I know the second room has to do with scales and somehow balancing them. But that's really all I've ever heard.
So when does the first trial start?
Soon. The guard will come in and let us know. But from what I heard previously before you came in, it was only a few minutes, maybe half an hour from now or so. Okay. But, I mean, we're all friends here, so I would like to. One of the things that I really enjoy is telling stories and hearing stories when I have people come through, because just getting to know more about the outside world and just sharing stories is something that I find fun. So,
I think your father told us the same thing.
You've met my father?
Yeah, we met him on the road here to the city.
Really?
Yeah.
I didn't know that he was still traveling. I thought he was too old to.
No, he's still traveling, and yeah, he's not too old to do much. He's pretty powerful.
Are you talking about out of game? Are you talking about the ranger? Because that's a completely different person than Hugin Mafas.
Oh crud! I thought it was the ranger.
No, because Hugin Mafas, he's a cattle rancher.
Yeah, I don't think we've met Hugin Mafas.
Who's the ranger then? I thought it was Hugo.
No, I don't have that in front of me right now.
Oh well, my bad.
The ranger?
Okay. No, we have not met your father. Just forget that I talked anything about it. Must have been someone else. Never mind.
Oh, that's fine. I mean, my father is a very personable person, so it's, you know, it could be.
So, yeah, we can help you. There's a possibility to help you with your escape. Do you know how many rooms there are in total? You said four?
I know there are three, and in the third room is where the Bloodstone is.
So it's really for escape. Escape is probably a bad thing for you, right?
Like, I mean, if I could escape, I would wish to leave this city, as if I remained in the city of Nishtun, I'd probably be recaptured in short order. But yeah. If I could leave the city, I might be able to be under the protection of another city.
Right. And you like to exchange stories.
I love to exchange stories.
Well, you heard about the three clerics, didn't you?
I have not.
There were these three clerics. There was a lawful good cleric, a lawful neutral cleric, and a lawful evil cleric. And they were deciding how to divide the monies they had raised from charity to their patron. And the first lawful good one said, we should draw a circle on the ground and throw all the money in the air. And whatever lands in the circle, we can keep. Whatever falls out of the circle, you know, we give to our patron. And the lawful neutral one said, what we should do is take all the coins and throw them in the air. And whatever lands in the circle, we give to the patron. And whatever lands outside the circle, we keep for ourselves. And the lawful evil one says, well, I think we take the we draw a little larger circle, we throw all the coins in the air, and whatever our patron wants, he keeps. And that is a true story.
Interesting. I like the way that the story flows out and kind of explains the different methodology. It's an interesting story. So since you told me one, I can tell you one. If you'd like to hear the story of Ilagi, the god of night and day.
I would love to hear about Ilagi.
So Ilagi is He's often regarded by many as the most important god of our world, as it is by his will that the sun rises and the moon comes to replace it. So Ilagi himself emerged from the chaos at the beginning of time, and he, among with other gods, created the world itself. As well as being a god, Ilagi was also this world's first king. And many kings, at least those that tend to be more successful or pretenders to the throne, still claim they are descended from Ilagi, simply to give themselves credence. According to the stories, though, Ilagi eventually began to grow weary of his duties. This made his people question whether or not he should be their king, and many began to doubt him. When Ilagi learned of this, in anger, he struck out one of his eyes, leaving the world trapped in night. And from the winter that followed, he formed his daughter Esmys. Esmys, known as the Winter Queen, went on a rampage, freezing and killing any of those who doubted her father. Ilagi eventually took pity on the humans and their suffering, and returned his eye to the world, restoring warmth to it once again. Finally, Ilagi and Esmys left the world and went on to live in the sky, rotating around it since in an eternal dance as the sun and the moon. Stories and legends have it that the Eye of Ilagi is still hidden somewhere on this world, waiting for the next god king to find it and assume his throne.
Cool. What does it look like? Does the legend say?
I don't know. That's the whole story as I know it.
Okay. Cool.
Where does Rimmer suggest that his eye is hidden?
Deep beneath the ground.
How large is this eye? Do you know?
I don't. Okay. It could be as large as a man's eye, or it could be as large as a man's head. I'm honestly not certain.
Sure.
Cool. Excellent story. Do we need to figure out what we're going to do with the tile room before they call us? Should we have something to trigger the trap tiles so we know which one's the right one?
I mean, I think we need to see it before we can really make a whole lot of things.
How big are the tiles? Do you know?
Quite large. I believe that they are approximately 10 feet across in all directions.
And how many tiles are there across the room?
I believe there are 5 tiles of 5 colors, both north or across. There's 5 tiles by 5 tiles, so a grand total of 25 tiles from what they've said. But the 5 tiles are also of 5 colors. Sure. As well.
Okay.
So if we had something we could like throw on the tiles so that they would like disappear, then we could find our path. All we need is like 20 of something.
Potentially, yes. I have not seen the trial, so I don't know. And the only rules I know is what's been shared with me.
Yeah. All right. Like, create boulder.
So.
And the object is just to get across the room.
The object is to get to the opposite side of the room, find the key, and open the door.
Okay.
We could, I guess we could use each other. Like
we can do this. Like,
throw the person on the tile while still holding them. And if the tile disappears, then you still got a rope attached to them.
We could use the lightest character to kind of just throw them along, and then.
So you're offering yourself?
I think this is called fishing with Tegan.
No, I think Hup is offering me. That's not what I was thinking.
I was thinking
the rogue would do it.
Yeah, that would be foolish.
I would think that the lightest one be able to step on every tile and not, and they would get across easily. They wouldn't trigger anything. So I think we should test this theory.
You really want to try that with your healer?
What's the worst that can happen, right?
Like, Those are fateful words.
Get like blue right now. They turn from the greenish normal color. They're turning like blue. He has a not happy face right now.
Oh, well, you seem unhappy. I look at you and you seem unhappy by your color change.
It's so, nothing. Never mind.
Do we Do we wait long and then the guard comes in?
Do you guys wait around for a while? Do you keep talking? Or you guys probably have another 20 minutes or so before the guard would come, but we can fast forward if you aren't going to do anything else.
I don't know if she has much more information. I wonder if that... Yeah. I wonder if that box... What's in the box that we talked about?
The box?
Yeah, the box that he wants us to get from the inside of the... From the inside.
That Rallos wants you to get?
Yes. Do we know what's that? Is that the stone? Is that the stone we're to get, or is that something else?
No, the stone is what we're after.
The right. stone is what you're after. The box is in the same room as the stone.
Right.
Right.
Do we know...
Well, we think.
Right. We think, anyway, yeah.
You've been told.
Yes, we've been told.
We've been told that it is, and it's... We don't know what's in the box, though, either.
What if it's... I kind of wonder if it's the eye of Ilagi.
Oh, that'd be cool.
The what? Eye of what?
Ilagi. From the story she just told us.
Oh, yeah.
Cool.
That's a good question.
And your idea not to give it to him, but he said it was too powerful for anyone else to wield, so
yeah.
I mean, would it be better in anybody else's hands besides his? I don't know.
Would be mine. Would be my hands would be the best place for that.
I don't know about that.
We've been in games when you've held stuff that can rearrange the universe. It didn't go well.
It went fine. So her name is White Pebble, is that right?
Correct.
So to White Pebble I ask, so what can you tell us is the compound, right? So we're in this room, but you have quarters. Is this where you live as well, or is there you have quarters someplace in the?
Oh, I have a room, but this room is much more luxurious than my room, so I tend to stay in here as often as I can.
So what is adjacent to these rooms? So you travel from here to your room. Is there?
So there's the hallway that you entered in, and she points to the door you walked in.
Sure.
And then I typically exit out there, go down the hallway, and if I go far enough down and to the left, past the entrance to the seating in the stadium, there is that's where the slaves' quarters are, and we each have shared rooms there for the different people who keep this place running, and. I have a small bed there that I share with two others.
So are there other doors in the room that we can investigate while we're waiting?
There are no doors in the slaves' quarters, but...
No, I mean in this room.
Are there other doors in this room?
Yeah.
There's one other door.
And,
do we want to search for hidden doors of any sort?
You certainly are welcome to.
Sure, let's do that. I think that's a great plan.
Okay, who's doing it?
That's a perception check, or is that a thievery check?
It would be a perception check.
I mean, we could probably all look around the room, see if we can find anything.
Okay.
I mean, I suppose I can look.
Looks like I got a 25. Do I find anything?
Okay. What did everybody get? You got 25?
I rolled a 16.
Is anyone else searching?
Yeah, sorry.
Yeah, one second.
Trying to find the button to push.
There it goes. 19.
Okay.
And 23.
Man, I just realized I must have rolled a 19. So close to a 20.
All right. So, yeah, you go looking around and you find a small, it's not like a door per se, like you couldn't walk through it, but it's a small sort of like opening type thing. Almost like a cubby, if you will. That's built into the wall. It's actually made out of wood, but painted and very, very well designed to look like just a part of the stone wall. And both Tegan and Aether located at about the same time. Same time, but it's high enough up that Tegan can't easily reach it while Aether can.
Okay.
Can you give me a probably... boost, guys? Or is Tegan actually standing on a Thier's shoulders when they find it together? That's almost what I envision.
Give me boost, guys.
So I think, let me see here. I'll call Hup over. Hey, Hup, can you check this over here? And we found something here, but can you see if it's trapped in any way?
I can, of course. So I do a thievery check, is that what I do? And then a... Is that the side hand, right?
Yeah, well, you would do a perception. Are you looking for traps on it?
Yeah, looking for traps.
Yeah, you do a perception check first to find the trap.
Okay, I guess
a thievery check to disable the trap.
I could look for the trap as well then.
I believe, Hup, do you gain a bonus to find traps with perception?
Oh yes, it looks like I gain a bonus of plus 40.
We all do. Sweet. Oh, we can combine our roll together.
No, I don't think I took the... I didn't take the trap finder.
Okay, no problem. So, yeah, it would be essentially equivalent for either of you to try to find the trap.
Well, it looks like Hup had already tried to find it, so okay. I'll let to see how that works out.
So, Hup, you do not find any traps. You rolled a 16 on your perception.
Right, so that's pretty good. There's probably no traps then. So, yeah, okay. Just go reach on in.
Okay. All right, let's go in there.
So you open it up, and Hup was exactly correct. There were no traps on it. And inside you find a pair of shoes, a pair of pants, a shirt, a belt, and a very simple necklace, just like a leather necklace. Of all the different things, it looks like it was like someone's clothes that they nicely folded up and put into like a cubby.
White pebble, does this have any significance?
I haven't seen. I didn't know that door was there. Let me look at it. And so she walks over. She looks through them, and then she gets finally to the necklace, and she goes, "Oh, this is This is the accoutrements of the previous person who helped in the preparation chambers. These chambers here. His name was Pale Tower. He was an elf, but he was in a similar situation as I am."
Pale Tower. Does your name get given to you by the guild, Perturance?
It does.
Okay, that makes more sense.
I'm going to detect magic on that one.
Okay.
On that stuff.
All right. So you detect magic, and you detect that of all the things in there, the belt appears to be magical.
Sweet. I don't have any. We need read magic, right, to figure out what it does?
No, you just need to identify it with arcana or religion, depending on what it is.
All right. I'll try. I can try religion if that's going to work.
I can help you.
You want to do arcana and I'll do religion? Or do you want to like help me with the roll, or I'll help you with the roll?
I'll do arcana because I'm much better at that.
Okay.
I'll do religion.
Okay. So the two of you guys look very closely at it.
Wow. Sweet. I rolled terrible.
What'd you roll?
I rolled a 10 total.
That's
a 2 on the dice.
Oh, you both got 10 total? Well, this is a magical belt.
Yeah, sure is.
Awesome. Right.
Very powerful.
I'll put it in my bag. We'll try again later.
It is a magical belt. So you're allowed to try again once you've gained another rank in the skill. In other words, gained a level.
Oh, gained a level? All right, we'll have to try. Maybe we'll take it in town somewhere.
So I'm going to try to do an arcana check.
Sure.
I'll have to take possession of it, though. What's it look like compared to my belt? It's probably pretty similar, isn't it?
It's actually, so it's a wide belt. So you know how normal like belts are just, you know, only like an inch in like height, or I guess width, whatever the right term is. But you know, this one is actually probably like twice as wide as a normal belt. So if you're wearing it to hold up your pants, it might not fit through the loops, depending on if they're wide enough.
Sure.
Is this a Santa belt?
Like, what else does it look like?
you joke, but it's actually pretty close. It is kind of a Santa style belt.
Oh, well, that's really weird because I've got one that looks identical to that.
But it's a big belt, and it's got like a sort of a brass clasp on it, or
oh
something.
My God, he killed Santa. Took his clothes.
So I rolled a 6. That's probably totally tells me what it is.
This is the belt of Santa.
Belt of Santa. Well, I'm going to use a thievery check to do a sleight of hand and swap it with my belt, which is identical to that one.
Okay. What'd you roll on your thievery?
28.
All right, so did the party let you look at it to see if you could identify it in the first place?
I would have to be able to touch it.
I don't know, Tegan had it, so.
Yeah, I had it. I can't say no now because he like already did the check. So
okay, yeah, so you let him take a look at it, and he goes, "I think it's a belt of Santa," and he hands it back to you.
Absolutely.
Great.
I hope he turns it puts it on and just gets this big white beard. Well,
I'm pretty sure that you'd have to put it on because you were wearing your previous belt if you're going to swap them.
Right. I'm not going to swap them.
No. Hup swapped them. So Hup quickly, like, he walked away from the group just for a short bit of time.
Because my pants are falling off.
And he, he like, tugged on his pants to pull him back up, but he was so just absolutely, you know, quick with his hands that he was actually able to put the other belt on without it looking like he was taking the other belt off and putting this one on. And he handed back a belt that looks pretty close to the same one back to Tegan, and Tegan doesn't really notice the difference.
Other than the other one's worn.
I don't get a perception check or nothing.
I'll allow you to make a perception check opposed by what he got on his thievery skill.
Which I can't, because the highest I can get is a 24, so.
Unless you roll a natural 20.
All right. That's not a natural 20. Yeah.
Okay. So Huff's hands must be very warm because this belt's a little bit warmer than you remember, but that's really about the only difference.
It's really warm.
I'm going to pay money to get this thing identified later on. Thanks, Huff.
So they feel like it's a leather belt. Really? What's up with that?
I detected magic on it. It was magical.
Must have worn off.
Must have worn off. Yeah.
How long does detect magic last?
Detect magic lasts as long as you maintain it.
Yeah.
So
yeah, I probably wouldn't have maintained it. Okay, never mind. Trying to see if I was
gonna. I mean, you probably don't have a lot of reason to suspect Hup of foul play.
Right. No, he's an honest dude.
Very.
Right.
At least not yet in this game. I'll learn my lesson soon enough.
I don't know. With rolls like that, it may take a while.
Making up for your ones, apparently.
Right.
So, out of game, or well, sort of out of game, I'm going to tell you what this is, Hup, just so that way you can record it in your character sheet, since you are actively wearing it. This is the lifting belt. For the listeners, it can be found on the core rulebook, page 613. So this is a belt that when you wear it, you gain a +1 item bonus to your athletics check. And it also increases the amount of weight you can easily carry. Before you can carry up to a bulk of 6 plus your strength modifier before becoming encumbered. And you can also hold and pick up a total bulk of 11 plus your strength modifier. That's your maximum, like how much you can lift up. However, it has an activation that you can use. It takes 2 actions. Once a day, you can lift an object up to 8 bulk in weight as though it were weightless. This requires both of your hands, and if the object is locked or otherwise held in place, you can attempt to force it using an athletics check as part of the activation. The object still has its normal full weight and bulk for all other purposes. You just ignore the weight of the object And that lasts only until the end of your next turn.
Okay, great.
So you have a weightlifting belt, essentially.
Right. Do I have to grunt when I use it?
You can do whatever you want with the
Excellent.
Belt.
Excellent. I mean, you should, right?
You have to. Probably. You have to. Just anything, like a glass, anything.
Otherwise, we'll figure out what kind of belt it was. And yeah, then you gigs up.
As he picks up like a car or like a cart, you know, a horse-drawn cart with one hand. And he was like, hey, look at this. I actually forget how much 8 bulk is, so I don't know if that's actually 8 bulk or probably more, I'm guessing.
I would guess a car is more, yes.
A cart, but yes.
Cart. Yes, okay, cart.
Bulk is about bulk is about 10 pounds.
Okay, yeah. So you can pick up 80 pounds as though it was weightless then.
Just to give you an example, scale mail is only 2 bulk.
Okay. Good to know. All right, so...
And there's no other rooms other than the one we're going to go through, like the one we came in and the one we're going to go out.
Yeah, with your perception checks, you were unable to find any additional rooms in this area. You did find that little cubby, but that was about it.
Okay.
All right. I guess we're ready.
And White Pebble comes up and asks, "Can I have the necklace?"
Absolutely. I guess I've got all the stuff. So.
Yes, I hate to trouble you for something, and please don't let anyone know that I took it from you. I would like something to remember my friend by.
Absolutely. Go ahead.
So she takes it and she kind of tucks it away in the pouch in her outfit.
Wait, she has a pouch and she could have coins? Is that what I'm hearing? I'm just kidding.
Jeez. Wow.
Dang. Let's steal from the slave. All right.
Life got you down. Well, don't worry. Hup's here.
Pinky fit bottom? No.
All right. So, shortly after you guys went around with looking at the belt and investigating and talking and everything else, a guard comes in and says, are the competitors ready to go into the gauntlet? She looks at you. She's like, well, I believe they are well rested and ready to go. Do you four have any questions before you enter?
We've out of game. We have our hero point and we have max hit points, right?
Yes, you are fully rested.
Yeah. Okay.
All right. Yeah, I'm ready.
I'm ready.
Okay. I believe we're ready.
All right. So then from there, she bids you farewell and good luck. And he leads you back through the door he came through, which is the entrance to the gauntlet. And he opens the door, lets you in, and then he goes out a side door, closes and locks it.
So we enter this room. So there's like the room is full of tiles, 25 tiles. It's a squarish room then with a walkway around the outside of it.
So here's the interesting thing about this room. And well, actually, we'll get into what the room looks like on the next episode. But first of all, when you first enter the room, you hear a phrase that kind of just echoes around the room. You're not sure if you're hearing it from outside or if you're hearing it from inside your own head. The voice says, "In this room lies many a tile. Beneath each can be good or vile. When one fails, they shall fall. But none shall die till it claims you all."
I kind of nudge someone next to me and go, "Did you just hear that?"
"Hear what?"
"Yes."
"Weird."
"It is weird.
It's got to be like a poison or something if it's not going to claim us all. Not going to claim us all until we all fail. Interesting. Should we tie a rope to each other so that no one falls?"
"There you go. That's a good idea."
"Or we all fall?"
"Well, I mean, the strongest person wouldn't fall."
"Okay. Right, but we put the smallest person at the front of it, and they would just keep walking. Everybody else could use their weight to keep him from falling."
yeah, I trust you guys, but I want more than one rope then. And I don't want Hup to be right behind me. I want the strong guy behind me.
All right. Well, while our heroes keep discussing their strategy, will the listeners and everyone else, I mean, the heroes, the players, they get to see what happens right now. But the rest of you, unfortunately, have to wait till next week to find out how they deal with the Trial of the Tiles. So thank you, everybody, for coming and listening to this episode of Paper, Pencil, Dice. I hope everybody's doing well out there and everybody's having a good time. Reach out to us via the Discord channel. You can find the invite to that on the Facebook group. Also, check us out on Facebook and leave us a message. Like and follow our Facebook chat. We share lots of information, and that's where all of our episodes get posted shortly after they're published. You can catch us on Spotify, Google Play, and several other most other major podcasting platforms, as well as iTunes, I guess. But anyway, until next time, we'll see you on Paper, Pencil, Dice. Keep gaming, friends.
Thanks for listening to this episode of Paper, Pencil, Dice. Reach out to us at podcast@paperpencildice.com. In upcoming episodes, if you have any questions about the campaign, role-playing games in general, or anything for that matter, send them to us, and we may read your question on the air and answer it as a group. Join us next time to see where our heroes end up on Paper, Pencil, Dice.